privilege to and a privilege to sing with the choir. What a hearty bunch of singers. I don't profess to have any great skill, but I like to sing. And I like to sing strongly. And I'm singing up here with people that sing strongly too. Some of them have skill and some it might be questioned. But whatever the case is, praise the Lord, it's vigorous and happy. And we thank God for every exercise like that. I'm going to read this evening in Romans chapter 3. I've been talking about the importance of living in the blessings of God year by year. And I previously talked about the blessing of redemption, the blessing of love, the blessing of understanding. And today I've been talking about the blessing of justice, knowing that God does things that are right and that God hears us and loves us too. And so in Romans chapter 3, I will begin reading at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yes, we establish the law. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to flesh of fowl? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I will stop there. I guess I didn't tell you I was going into chapter 4 or 2, so if that confused anybody, my apologies are hereby extended. But I wanted to really get to verse 5 in chapter 4 because that's been my life verse. It came to me many years ago. I mean, it was always in the Scripture, but I became aware of it many years ago when I was in a time of great personal trouble and I had all sorts of doubts and fears. And just browsing in the Scripture, I came on it. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And I looked to the heavens, so to speak, in my heart, and I said, Lord, you know I'm not working very well, not doing things very well, but I believe in Jesus. And belief in Jesus is the thing that brings us the righteousness that pleases God. And the text back in chapter 3, verse 26, tells us that God would be just and the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. And that really is the blessing of justice. The blessing of justice is that God has pronounced us sinners and given a way of salvation and introduced us through Jesus Christ, his Son, into eternal life. I get excited about that. Sometimes when I get excited, I talk too loud, and often I talk too fast. I'm going to try to cut the speed. I'm not sure what I can do about the volume, because when I look at you, it just looks like I ought to shout. A good shout, a happy shout, praise the Lord. I can try to slow down just a little bit. But the problem is, if I slow down, my brain kind of turns to mud. And after a while, nothing comes out but, well, never mind. I'll tell you, the blessing of justice is a great blessing. Because in this world, we don't often see justice. And we sometimes see it miscarried and not done well. But God is just. That means he's right. That means he's right. And he's the one who makes right those who believe in Jesus. Not because they work well, not because they're so good, but because they believe him and they believe on his Son. And God gives them eternal life. So I will say that repeatedly, probably, in the nature of these things. Well, I have three particular facts that I draw to your attention. The first one is headed up in verse 23 of chapter 3. The previous context starts really in verse 19. But the first fact is that we're all sinners. How's that? Does that surprise anybody? There are always a few people that think they're not because they think they haven't killed anybody lately, and that's the only sin that counts. No, anything that violates the righteousness of God is sin. And I'll tell you, when you get into James 4, you get a shock that will set you back 3 years. James says, to whomsoever knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I'll tell you, see, if you know you ought to do something good for somebody and you don't do it and you could do it, it's sin. Because God has put it here to help one another. I remember one winter in a snowstorm up in New York State, I was driving back home from a conference in my Volkswagen Bug. They were good cars. They would go in up to a foot of snow pretty well. Beyond that, you just spent the night in it. But up to that time. And the highway was terrible. And there was somebody driving a big Cadillac along this highway, kept slipping sideways and pushing off and blocking the road. And the first time that happened, I stopped and we're all stopped. And I said to the fellows behind me, there are enough of us to get that car pushed on the road again. And we got it pushed on the road. There was a lady driving it who looked scared. I don't know what we should have done. But whatever the case is, we got it going. And we went about a mile and a half, and she stepped on the brake and was slid into the ditch again. Roadblock, same thing, pushed her out. About 3 miles later, she went slipped sideways into the ditch again. But this time, she didn't have the road completely blocked, and we just drove past her and went on our way. And I felt bad about it ever since. We knew we could have done something good, but didn't do it. Didn't do it. Actually, what we should have done was to call the state police, I suppose, but cell phones were not current at that time. But the things that don't please God are sin, and the things that are contrary to His Word are sin. And the good things you don't do when you ought to do them, they're sin. Sin is a giant monster. And when the writer says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it means God is perfect and perfect in holiness, perfection in every way. And the sins come in and ruin our lives where we are. Now, there's a tricky thing about sin. When it's done, you can't undo it. You can repent of it, praise the Lord. You can go ahead and not do it again, but when it's done, it's done. David sorrowed about his sin with Bathsheba tremendously, but it was done, and it can't be undone. And I've looked back and said, I've done things that I wish I could go back and undo. God forgives us and gives us help, but they can't be undone. And that's a powerful lesson. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, all of your sins are clinging to you, and they cannot be undone. God doesn't allow us to undo them by any particular means. It just can't undo them. And I hate to say that, it sounds so fatalistic and final, but it is that. They can't be undone. And if you have said something nasty to somebody yesterday that was wicked, you can apologize today and they may forgive you, but the memory of that and the reality of it will stick around for a long, long time. I'm not going to argue that point very much. I thought I'd do something different since this is a radio program and you're allowed to offend your audience in several directions. I'd hate for people who listen to the radio to think we always do the same thing all the time at the Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel. You may do the same thing all the time. I don't think you do. But guys like me come in, and you know, one way or another, and we sometimes do different things. So I thought I would just stop at this point and play a number on my harmonica for you. And I want you to look at it in the book, in the Redemption Songs. It's number 173 in Redemption Songs. In Redemption Songs 173, I want you to watch the words and think about it kind of carefully. You may know it, I hope you do, but you can watch the words. It says, not have I gotten but what I received, and I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Wrong number, 170, wrong number, 171. How could I have done that? Well, I'll tell you one thing, friends. To err is human, and to forgive is pretty nice. So if I've written down the wrong number, forgive me. If you haven't looked it up yet, have you, pal? This is my wife over here. Oh, that is the wrong number. It's 605. 605. That is the wrong number. That's the number I want to sing at the end of the service. Ah, with this kind of ability, it's a wonder people listen to you at all. Well, for you in the radio, forgive us. You know that we're human. And we know that you're human, too. The 605 is right? Yes, thank you. like to sing the stanza with me? Yeah, sing it with me. Sing it with me. Sing it with me, and I'll try to sing with you, too. Here we go. Congregation, thank you very much. But I'll tell you, if you can't sing that, if you can't sing that you're only a sinner saved by grace, you ought to come to terms with that tonight and believe on Jesus Christ. Because the great fact is that we all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And we are all in that condemnation. But God has appointed a way for us to escape it, or to be delivered for it, or to be satisfied with it. So the first of my facts is simple. We're all sinners. The second shows up in verse 24, in particular, about how God has set forth Jesus as a substitute for us. God has extended a plan of deliverance. That's what I'd like to say. We're all sinners. That's the first great truth. The second great truth is that God has a plan for our deliverance and our salvation. And that plan is to believe in Jesus Christ, as in verse 26. He would be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. When I used to read verse 5 in chapter 4, to him that worketh not, you know, I had to understand that that didn't mean that he never worked, but it meant that he didn't try to work to save himself. I love to work. I'm a worker by nature, and when I'm not working, I don't feel terribly comfortable. I can relax sometime, and if I had any, you know, criticism of the brethren, here it is that they don't give the visiting preachers enough work to do. That would be my single criticism. That's the only one I have, fellas. I will not make another, but that's the source. They don't make us work hard enough. They could lay off the janitor and say, I want you to sweep the hall or something like that. I don't know. But I like to work. But when you try to work to please God and go to heaven, it's a disaster because it says to him, the program you have is not good enough. But God is just. He's right. And he makes right all those who believe in Jesus Christ. It can't be done by works because you can't work that much. And it can't be done by the law because the law condemns you repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. They have driving limits for speed on this island. Do you know that? Do you really know that? And do you know how many people observe them? All of you, no doubt. But I doubt it. I have a pretty good idea of what 20 miles an hour is. And walking down here along the road and seeing 20, you know, the air of the passing vehicles would almost blow you into the fences. Now, there are some people who drive slowly, and there are about 15 behind them trying to pass. It's just interesting how it goes. But the law makes us sinners. And you can say we're sinners without it. There's some truth to that, too. But it makes us sinners because it shows us our error. It doesn't show us how to get rid of them. But the way to get rid of them is to believe on Jesus Christ. And God forgives those who believe on his Son, because his Son paid the price of our guilt, the price of our errors. He paid the debt that we owed to righteousness before God. And in the presence of God, when you believe, suddenly you do come up to his glory. You become his child. You're brought into his family. And the great problem of your sin is dealt with by God in just a very, very happy sort of a way. I taught for a good many years. I keep saying that because I keep trying to remind myself that I haven't had this present lazy life all these times. I taught for a good many years. And I used to be struck by the fact that some students tried to make an impression on the teacher that would put them in his favor. Some did that. Particularly in the lower grades, they did that. In the graduate school, they didn't do it so much. I taught for Word of Life for a good while, and I'm still on that particular chore. I'll be back with them, Lord willing, in a few months. But whatever the case is, one day I was telling the class how we were raised in the Depression in the United States. And in the Depression, you didn't throw away any food. You ate everything that was on your plate. And I made some further references to that, and I said, last night I passed by the snack bar, and I saw a lot of pizza crusts being thrown away. They just eat the crust and throw the crust away. I said, those people needed to go back and live in the Depression. You didn't throw the crusts away. And the next day, a student came up to me with a plate with about 40 crusts on it. He said, Brother Taylor, we didn't mean to offend you, Brother Taylor. He said, so we brought you these crusts. And I remember him as a wise guy to this day. But sometimes it was normal for the students to want to get in favor with the teacher. There were those people who say, oh, this is the best class I've ever had in my life. They were saying it to somebody else when I heard it. And there are those people who bring the traditional apple to you. In my particular case, the Word of Life, they bring a candy bar, a no-sugar candy bar, and they kind of think favor on that. I don't know how to say it, but you can never find favor with God or with man by buying it. You can only have it with God by believing on His Son. The emphasis is that he who believes on Jesus is the one that God sees as being justified, and that's a powerful thing. The law will not do it because the law makes you guiltier, and your works won't do it because no matter how hard you work, you can't undo the problems that you did before. You may not do them again, but you can't undo what's done before, and it clings to you. It clings to you. I'm not sure what clings down here in the Bahamas, but if I were home, I'd say it clings to you like a leech. It grabs on and holds on, and you cannot escape from the fact that it's been there. But those are two important things. We are all sinners, but God has offered a plan that we could be saved, and that plan is through faith and believing in Jesus Christ. It means we look up and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I will accept the salvation that you offer. The words are so simple, they defy intelligence by some people, and there are some people who are so smart that they miss the great blessing of God. And I hope you're not that way tonight. I don't know you all that well, but I'll tell you, if you think that you can please God by any other way than by trusting His Son, you're just wrong. And whether you say it loudly or softly, you're just wrong. God has appointed a way of deliverance. That's through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're just out of it. That's all there is to it. You can read the Bible till your knees get sore. But if you don't believe in the Son of God, it will do you very little good and no good in eternity. Now, the third thing I mention in this passage is that God accepts belief for righteousness. That's in verse 5 of chapter 4. He accepts belief for righteousness. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Righteousness means you're being right with God. Justification means you're being declared right with God. Being justified means that you stand before God in a pure and a holy way. And the concept is that God accepts belief in Jesus, in the Son of God. He accepts belief for righteousness. It's like a bartering kind of a situation. Oh, that's not very theologically sound. But you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. It's not that I believe about Him. It's not that I think that He really lives. It's not known that I went to see the Passion movie and said, isn't that great? It's not that. It's that I believe in Him. I lay myself upon Him. I trust Him. I know that He died for me. And I'm confident that He loves me and will care for me. Believing in Him is quite different than believing about Him. And I try to make that emphasis for myself because it's easy to believe about things. I was selling a car once to a fellow in Pennsylvania. I'm not a car salesman. But I had this old Volkswagen Rabbit, and I had it up for sale. And when he came in to look at the Volkswagen, I noticed he had a Christian pin in his lapel. And I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. He said, I am born again. He said, how about you? And I said, well, I'm a believer. He said, that doesn't tell me much. There are some people that believe in Muhammad and some people believe in Buddha. I said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, he said, that's better. He said, I like people to be specific with those things. I almost didn't want to sell him the car. But I understood what he was saying. Being a believer, you might just believe in a Ouija board. You can't tell. But a biblical believer is somebody who trusts Jesus Christ. And that faith in Jesus Christ is accepted by God for righteousness. Suddenly you're right. Suddenly you're right. I used to go and preach in some of the missions in Philadelphia. I haven't done much of that lately because your life changes and your direction changes. And more than once I've stood with somebody who would say, I had a terrible life. I'm not really interested in everybody's sins, but at the mission sometimes you can't escape it. And some of them say, I've had a terrible life. Do you think God could save me? Do you think God could trust me? And my response was always this. The kind of life you've had means nothing right now. Jesus means everything. And if you'll believe in the Son of God, your past will be forgiven. It may still be punishable in some way. They might put you in jail for something you did. Or who knows, your wife might hit you with a frying pan when you come home late. It's hard to know. But in terms of eternity and spirituality, you'll be forgiven. God doesn't look and say, I can only forgive you for the last 2 years. Faith in Jesus Christ brings us a complete forgiveness with God. Our sins are remembered no more. The Old Testament writer says they're drowned in the sea. The New Testament writer says there's no condemnation. They're gone. And I don't care what the past was. The present is important, and the present is to believe in Jesus Christ, and that counts for righteousness. Someone said to me once, they said, you Christians are awfully smug. You're awfully smug. You say, well, God is going to save me, and God is going to do this and that. Listen, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, it's no boast, it's no smugness to say that I'm saved. If you walk out with a holier-than-thou attitude, that's bad. If you walk down the street and smile, I'm saved and you're lost, I'm saved and you're... That's bad, I think. But to know it for yourself and to live it is important and vital and a great thing. Because, see, if you believe in Jesus, you are right with God. One of my Christian friends in New York City years ago was a prominent lawyer. And he was riding home in the subway one night, and as the subway came up out of the tube, there was a thunder and lightning storm going on, a ferocious storm. And a man sitting across from him in the subway car said, another one of these lightning storms. He said, I'm afraid of lightning, and he said, I'm even afraid of thunder. And my friend said to him, as it was reported to me, he said, I'm not afraid of those things. He said, I love them. And the other man said, why do you love them? He said, it's because they're made by my company. And the man said, your company? He said, yes, it's God and Bennett. That's who it is. He said, God and Bennett. And he said, because God makes them and I'm at peace with God, said, I don't worry about them at all. He said, they might strike the train. Who knows what they might do, but I'm right with God. And being right with God, you may not be right about everything else, but being right with God, you're right eternally. And that right can't be purchased. It can't be worked. It can't be inherited. It's a personal confession of faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know why people are reluctant to do that. My grandfather was my mentor for many years. He knew a lot about the Bible. He knew a lot about church. He knew a lot about other things. He knew an endless amount of stuff. But he didn't know Jesus. And one day, in the last year of his life, sitting on a swing in the family yard, thinking about all the things he knew and had done, he said to me, he said, suddenly I realized that the only thing that counted was faith in Jesus. He had a few months to live with that truth, and on his deathbed, minutes before he died, I wasn't on the deathbed, but his children were gathered around him, and my mother said, minutes before he died, he kind of sat up, and he said, I want to tell you, he said, I've had a wonderful life. The only thing I would have changed is I would have trusted Jesus a lot sooner. And then he smiled at them and said goodbye, and laid down and was gone. Now, I wasn't there, but my mother is a pretty critical witness and reports things pretty much. But the concept was that belief in Jesus Christ is a saving thing. But some people just won't hear it. And some people hear it and immediately respond. I don't understand it fully. I don't try to understand it fully. I simply say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And you'll be right with God. And you might have a tough time at your job, and you may not do things right at home. There may be a lot of other problems in life, but you'll be right with God in the sense that you've become His child. Now, there's a lot more to Christian living than just getting started. Getting started is a big thing. And you need to get started by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and believing on Him. I say that the concept of the blessing of justice is knowing that God is just, and the one who will justify the unrighteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And that kind of justice cannot be abrogated or lost. And we find ourselves God's children, saved forever by the grace of God. I'm going to ask you to sing with me tonight in closing number 173. I hope that's right this time. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I urge you tonight to believe on Him. If you'd like to talk with me about it afterwards, I'm very happy to talk. I'm not going to rush to the door to smile and see who's sneaking out. I'm just going to stay and walk down front here. And if you have any question, I'd be happy to talk with you. And if you had some question later, we're staying in the apartment back here, I'd be happy to talk with you there. The important thing, though, is not talking with me. The important thing is talking with God and saying, Father, I believe that Jesus died for me. And He will give you the gift of eternal life. 173. We'll stand, I think, and sing it. 173.